Hello and welcome to the 13th episode of the Swedish Winger. I'm Lars, your host, and on this episode I will discuss the Traverse City prospect tournament, my thoughts ahead of the training camp and the exhibition games. Looking at Traverse City, my biggest positive takeaway were Elmer, naturally. Has to be Elmer, right? And, first and foremost, I'd say Sebastian Kosa. We've seen him play, and it hasn't looked that good. But watching him in Traverse City, granted, versus not that good players on average, I think he played calm and collected, something that's been missing from his game. And on today's press conference, Steve Yzerman mentioned that was something they had been working on with the Kosa, so that's a positive. I think for all the relative bitterness on my part that they picked Kosa over Wallstedt, I'm happy to see Kosa progressing with basically leaps and bounds when we're talking about how collected he looked in those two half games. It was an interesting development. I didn't think we would see such improvement so fast, which is also a positive, because that means he's ready to soak up that information and that he's not stuck in old bad habits. Another interesting part is where he'll play the upcoming season. We have very good goalies in the main club, and he shouldn't be in the NHL anyway, with Ville Husso and Nedeljkovic. And we have the national team goalie in the AHL, Jussi Olkinuora, which means we have Brattström, possibly Kosa, and an American goalie that I can't remember his name for the life of me. If Kosa does not take the reins in Grand Rapids, and playing in the AHL is not that easy, I don't think he should be playing in Toledo, because that's not at the level where you would want him to play. And I'm not entirely sure they have the goalie trainer facilities and staff to really make him as good as he could be. If I were Steve Yzerman, and I'm very much not, or if I were any of the development guys, I would actually look to Sweden for a place for Kosa to play. I mean, why not loan him to the SHL or Hockeyallsvenskan, where there's a plethora of top-notch goalie coaches, where you could hire just to work with him on occasion, and he would probably get plenty of games. A fair few clubs that still don't have like the best goalie setup going into this season, so that would have been interesting. They might be a bit late on it, like getting him into a club now, but that would have been an interesting route to take. A fair few Finns, like Niklas Bäckström, Mika Kiprusov, and the San Jose recently signed, what's his name, Strassman, who played for Michigan. He played for Skellefteå last year. He's also a goaler who got well developed in the SHL, so that would have been an interesting route, but I think it might be too late in the season to get Kosa in, but who knows. One of my other biggest takeaways from this tournament was that the guys I expected to be good were good. I mean, yeah, you could say that Simon Edvinsson was floating a bit, looked a bit disinterested. Same with Albert Johansson, although he had a vicious hit along the boards. Elmer Söderblom was probably the Swede who worked the hardest out of the top prospects that are Swedish. And I'm not counting Limparlans in that category. But I reckon that's in a way to be expected, because these guys have been playing senior hockey versus men and excelled at it for at least a year or 2 years. To be thrust into the prospect camp or prospect tournament. I mean, it's a fairly incohesive group with very different sets of qualities. It's everything from guys who might not even have a hockey career to guys who might end up winning trophies at the highest level. So, I mean, there were times you could see Simon Edvinsson making a pass, but none of his teammates knew where to be or saw what he saw. So the passes were missed or misread. But he did look a bit disinterested, and that caused a lot of discussion on Twitter. The YouTube comments I'll leave as that was just sewer. But it's kind of interesting though, because watching that Traverse City tournament and trying to take some kind of broader view of the average quality of Söderblom and Edvinsson and Johansson, I think it doesn't do them justice, and it also might be a bit premature to take anything from it. I think they themselves saw it as a chance to get their legs ready for the main camp and the exhibition games, to like activate their bodies and get them ready for ice hockey. So, and not get injured. I think that was quite clear when you saw the guys play, that they weren't really that engaged in blocking shots and finishing hits that were quite there to finish. And it also made like guys like Piercy, who might be a third, fourth liner in the AHL, he looked awesome. But he also said in the intermission when he was interviewed by, I think it was Carly Johnson who spoke to him, and he said that his parents told him that this was about life and death in terms of his hockey career and where to go to next. I think he was in the Flint Firebirds last season. And of course, a guy who puts that kind of effort in, that thinks this is his career, of course he's going to look fantastic versus better players going at, well, firing on one cylinder at the most. So sure, I wouldn't take to read too much into it, at least. And looking at Simon Edvinsson, I've seen him now for the better part of 2 years. If you want to see Simon Edvinsson's qualities, just go look at the last couple of games he played in the SHL last season. Same with Albert Johansson. Looking at them where they stand today, they are already two of the best left-handed defensemen or left-shooting defensemen in Detroit. They should definitely be one of the three, two of the three left-handed defensemen in the team, because they're that good. I don't think they're going to run out to two Swedish rookies on the left side of D, but I can't really imagine Simon Edvinsson in the AHL, because he's way, way too good for that. But he could also be like the first power play D-man in Grand Rapids if they choose to stack the Griffins and maybe push for a championship or go far into the playoffs. I think, sure, but I think I'm comfortable saying he has qualities enough to play in the NHL right now. Stevie also mentioned that Sider had the extra year compared to Edvinsson, but I don't think that should hold Simon Edvinsson back at all. I'd rather them they put Albert Johansson in the Griffins. And as for Elmer Söderblom, I think he did so well in Traverse, but I don't think he's ready for the NHL just yet. But it's going to be interesting to follow him in the exhibition games. He had a couple of really nice plays. He hit the post, I think, two or three times at least. And he had some nifty plays. I saw that a couple of people were surprised at his passing and his vision, which is also, I mean, fair enough. It's kind of hard to watch all the Swedish talent in the SHL. But Elmer is more of an all-round player than just a goal scorer. He's no twice the amount of goals than assists, because he has the vision and he has the passing as well. So for me, that wasn't too surprising that he had a couple of really nice passes. I think he had 2 apples on the tournament, if I'm not remembering it incorrectly. I think Emil Viro and Donovan Zambrano were fairly good as well. I think Grand Rapids Griffins will have really solid defenders this season, and an injury in the Red Wings group of defenders won't be as devastating as it has been before. I don't think we'll see Brian Lashoff in the Red Wings this year, at least. Another guy that was spoken of a lot was Cross Hannes, who impressed me. I think he was really good. It's a guy who I've, as I wrote on Twitter, it's a guy who I'd really like to like. So I hope the weird politics stuff is a thing he can leave behind him, because that's not just healthy. But it's definite that the kid has skills. But he's another guy that I don't really see him playing in the Red Wings organization just yet. Well, in the organization he'll be, naturally. But I think he'll be in the Griffins. He might be right now where Jonathan Berggren was 1.5 years ago, basically. He has plenty to prove in the AHL for me to think that he'll be a lock to make the Red Wings. But I liked what I saw. I think he was impressive. He did well. It was also funny to see how friendly him and Simon Edvinsson was already, which also speaks to the kind of atmosphere they have already. I mean, these guys don't know each other that well, but they're still happy, very happy for each other, celebrating every goal or every good thing quite a lot. So I think that's a good thing, looking at the how they build that room. Going back to Elmer, I think that he was an eye-opener, somewhat of a revelation to a lot of viewers on YouTube who watched the games. Yes, he's very big. But also that I don't think he had that much problem keeping up with the tempo. I don't think he struggled with the smaller ice surface. I think he did very well, actually. And yes, he didn't look that assertive in the defensive zone. But looking at how they were playing in the defensive zone, it was like Elmer was kind of looking for the outlet pass, watching for the outlet pass as if he was told to be there. So that was kind of an interesting thing that I saw. He wasn't like mucking around along the boards that much. And it did break out a couple of times. And he must be a nightmare for a defender in any way, because he has the size and he has a stick like a redwood and a reach that is absolutely insane. So if you're a smaller D-man, he can just keep the puck away from you and you can't actually reach it. There were a couple of times where you could see the frustration in the defenders where they went for his skates instead and tried to trip him over. So whether or not he plays in the Griffins or the Red Wings, he will draw a lot of penalties during a season because he's so frustrating to defend. Now, Elmer will never be a quick player, but he's also not a slow player once he's come up to speed. So that's one of the reasons he should be constantly moving when the puck is in the defensive zone. So he has some speed to build on if he gets the puck. But I think also when he actually got the puck, he was very good at protecting the puck and getting it to a teammate with a higher speed than him. So I think he was impressive. And as I said, I don't think he'll play in the Red Wings to start. I wouldn't be that surprised if he got games, though, if he got to play in the AHL and that got and he actually succeeded there. If he's doing well in the AHL, why don't give him the 9 games to show him what the NHL is all about? It would be very interesting to watch, at least. It was also kind of funny watching all the questions directed to Elmer well, both before and after games, and so many of the questions are about how big he is. I mean, if you've seen any discussions with Elmer, why ask him about his size? Start asking other things. I mean, the guy is 20, 21. He's playing hockey. Yeah, he's big, but there must be more than his size to ask about. It has to suck being Elmer and always hear that, well, you're big. How is it? What's it like to be as big as you are? That's tiresome. But still, I mean, same questions over and over again. How boring can you be? The lack of fantasy is staggering. Your imagination is dead. Get something else. I don't think I've seen one journalist or reporter asking Elmer, like, what have you worked on this summer? What has been the most important thing you've done over the summer? What are your goals for this season? Where do you see yourself playing? Nothing. It's always, you're a big boy. What's it like being a big boy? On another note with Elmer, if he does end up playing in the Grand Rapids Griffins, I would love to see him with Cross Hannes and probably Taro Hirose, because I think that would be a very interesting combination of skills. I wouldn't want to play them if I were a hockey player, that's for sure. With Taro setting up Elmer for that shot he has, or Hannes going with the speed and tenacity he has. So yeah, that would be a very interesting line to watch. But that's that on the Traverse tournament. Looking forward to training camp and what players might stick or not for the Red Wings. I'm basically pinning Jonathan Berggren down as a Red Wing. I think he'll make the team. And I think he might start as a third line winger. And I really do think he'll succeed at it as well. He has the skill set. He has the tenacity. And he's hard to knock off the puck. Think of him as Victor Arvidsson 2.0. If you're not that familiar with Jonathan Berggren. And another guy who is talked about way too little though is Pontus Andreasson. He's not flown under the radar here because he's been a submarine. He has been invisible. No one's spoken about him. But you have to be aware how good he actually was in the SHL this past season. He was really good, and he was very important for his Luleå team in the playoffs. He scored 18 goals and had 20 apples for 38 points in 52 games. And in the playoffs, he had, in 13 games, he had 8 goals and 5 assists for 13 points. And plenty of them were important goals. And he is, if I were to describe him, I'd say he's a tenacious winger that has he's moved from center to winger, so he can actually play center. But they figured they got the most out of him at the wing. I would compare him a little bit to Bertuzzi. He's the same type of player in a way. He has that frantic forechecking style. He's not afraid to go into the dirty areas, as you say. He's not afraid to turn into the goal from the wing, getting hit on the way. And the slot area is his office. He scores a lot of dirty goals. He has a lot of tips and rebounds that he puts in the net. And I think he's a guy a lot of Red Wings fans are sleeping on, just because we are in our minds so set on what the four lines will look like. But I think Pontus Andreasson might surprise a couple of people. And I think a guy like Adam Erne will not play in the Red Wings that much this year. I think he might actually even get waived eventually. And with Fabry out, Adam Erne being a worse player, and I do think we won't see much of Giovanni Smith this season. The injuries that will occur from time to time, I think we'll see plenty of Pontus Andreasson as well. Sure, he might start in the Grand Rapids Griffins, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got somewhere in the 20s in games played. But I do think he's also only on a 1 year contract. So if you really want the guy to stay or stick around, if he's decent and he's a free asset, so give him a couple of games so you can re-sign him. Otherwise, he's just another Mattias Bromea who will get misused like he was under Blashill and never really got to acclimatize to the North American rink, and then went to the Swiss League and absolutely tore it up. And now he's back in the SHL. Because, I mean, looking at the Red Wings roster, there are players and positions that are not set in stone. I think they want Sedina to play because the quality in a way is there, but I also think he has to perform. Same with Dominik Kubalik or Michael Rasmussen. I mean, these guys are fringe players, basically, or free assets like Kubalik. If they are outperformed by Jonathan Berggren or Pontus Andreasson, I would say that they might end up on the outside looking in. I don't think Sedina would, but I wouldn't be too surprised if we end up with some players surprising us in the negative way, that they might just, not take a spot or earn a spot eventually. Some of those guys coming over from Sweden are actually very good. We'll see if they are as good as they could be on the North American ice. But style-wise, I think Pontus Andreasson should fit well on the North American ice and the style of play there. So he'll be an interesting guy. Finishing up on a note that is kind of sad in a way, I find it a bit weird, uncomfortable even. With all the scandals with the Hockey Canada, I'll have to say that Ken Holland was my hero. He's been my hero as I grew up watching the Red Wings team he built raise the cup. But looking at his legacy besides the cups, I'm not that sure that I could put him on that pedestal on a moral basis anymore. I mean, he let Mike Babcock run show in Detroit. He let him absolutely trash a guy like Johan Franzén. What he did to Chris Chelios was not, I mean, that's kind of a dirty move. Mike Modano never getting his 1500th game. I mean, all that stuff that's on him as well, letting Mike Babcock do what Mike Babcock did. But getting a guy like Evander Kane, while he's accused of the stuff he's accused of, and then add a guy like Jake Virtanen, who's a fringe NHLer at best. He's not a good hockey player. And adding him on a PTO with the history he has and the stuff he's accused of. Holy shit, Ken, what were you thinking? Now, I'm struggling with that. That's just above my, it's beyond where my what I would be able to pay or be willing to pay to win. That's just way out of my moral comfort zone, if you will. But I guess anything for the shot of success, I guess. That's just not for me, though. Well, that's me signing off for this time. I hope you enjoy the listen. It's been a month since I recorded last, so I'll try to be more frequent as the season is starting. Everything is ramping up now. We have some news. Oh yeah, before I go, Zdeno Chara retired, which means for me a bit of the last of the Mohicans. The last player born in 1977 has left the NHL. That's my year. My likelihood of a hockey career in the NHL is then even more beyond reach. Just kidding, it was never within reach. So, but still, last guy gone, last 77. So cheers, Zeno, for holding the flag up as long as you did. Well, that's it for this episode. So good night, America, wherever you are.